Welcome to FHSU Tilt Talk, a podcast about educational technologies, teaching and learning, scholarly research, and service, hosted by Teaching Innovation and Learning Technology staff.
Welcome to our special series, where we dive into generative AI at Fort Hays State University. In this series, we interview faculty and staff about their work with generative AI, exploring how they've integrated it into their teaching and research.
Well, thank you all for joining us. Today we have a pretty special episode for you, a little bit different than we've been doing previously, where if you're listening to this on our podcast, we would encourage you to come and watch the video version of this on our TigerLearn blog. I'm joined today by Gary Anderson.
Hi, Gary Anderson from the AEP department, and glad to have you all with us here on our Tilt podcast.
And I'm Magdalene Moy. I'm the instructional technologist over in Tilt and the Generative AI Task Force chair. Today we have our guest, David Levering. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, you're good.
Who is a science educator and paleobiologist in the Sternberg Museum. And he's going to speak to us today about a tool that he's been working on.
Yeah, Magdalene, Gary, thanks so much for having me today. So I received one of the innovation grants through Dr. Tisa Mason, our president's office, in 2023. And that went towards getting this project, creating a virtual learning course started. In working with the software team that did all the back end stuff, they brought to me the idea of integrating an AI chatbot into the project, which initially was going to be an interactive virtual world with some stuff built on to the API. So it basically allowing things to happen. It's very much more interactive for the students. It responds to their actions and stuff like that. And what they brought is like, what if we were to train a bot on all the content in the course, as well as all of the like smaller scale content in each one of these virtual environments, and really allow the students to have kind of a co-pilot as they're moving through the course, as well as a always on demand AI bot there to answer questions they might have about the course, about the content, things that they're seeing, so that they're able to get feedback much more quickly, really tighten that feedback loop as they're going through the learning process, regardless of what their schedule is, because this is a virtual course. And so they're able to be a bit more flexible with their scheduling and how and when they're engaging with course material. And Dr. Laura Wilson in Geosciences, my partner on this, and we both thought that it was a really interesting idea that we should pursue. So we cobbled together some additional funding and were able to add that on to the rest of this project. And we have students in it right now, and hopefully we'll have some really great outcomes in the next couple of weeks once they finish.
Perfect. Would you mind showing us the platform? And I don't know if I asked this or not, but would you tell us what the name of the project is?
Yeah, it was Cretaceous Arctic Climate Change. It was a one credit virtual field course through the geology department, geosciences department. So I'm going to do a screen share of the world builder. I would go into the world, but it can get a little cranky with screen share. So we're going to try this first, and hopefully this will be agreeable. This was done in Gathertown, which is a virtual world platform. Their main business model is actually virtual offices for private companies. And I discovered them, I think, in 2021 during lockdowns, and really started playing with them to create customized virtual learning worlds as opposed to a virtual office setting, because the tools are all usable regardless of what kind of world you want to build. So this is level 5, real quick. I'll jump back to level 1. So this is module 1A. And so here we're getting the students started in this representation of the modern Arctic. So there's a research station over here. There are built-in basically knowledge check stations where the students can go and answer quizzes. You can see them like right here. This is a digital version of Dr. Wilson in the sunglasses, the little sign. And so they move around the environment and they're collecting all of this information that's distributed in virtual space. And then they're kind of taking these little knowledge check quizzes. And all of this, everything that they're doing, in addition to all the data that the AI bot was trained on initially, is basically a layer over ChatGPT to filter it, continues to inform that bot as each individual student moves from beginning through other modules. So like this, for example, we have more of the modern Arctic. And so they're going to progress through and they're going to be seeing like modern wildlife. They're going to be seeing the geology, seeing how the kinds of rocks are changing. And then one of the things that I really like as a paleontologist slash geoscientist is that the rocks that they are seeing in the modern day are going to be reflected when they time travel. So now they're in the Cretaceous, and the rocks that they were seeing in the modern day correspond with this being the same place, but as an active ecosystem. And so they saw sandstone in the present day, they go back in time, and now they see a beach. So yeah, this is the Cretaceous ocean, a very warm sea that used to be where the Arctic is today. And the students basically get to move through this content pathway that takes them through modern Cretaceous, back to modern, and then to the Eocene, which is more recent than the Cretaceous, after the extinction that wiped out the dinosaurs. And then back to modern day, and really seeing how climate in this place that we know today as a very stark, this very drastic climate environment has really changed dramatically over millions of years.
I love this. This is really cool. I have a lot of different questions, but I'll try to stay focused on AI. How did you all train the AI? How does the student interface with the AI? Like, is Dr. Wilson the AI? Like, if you click on her for help, is it gonna prompt some sort of LLM?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So the way it works is it's called the LoroBot, was what the software guys decided to name it. And the students can, it will respond to some of their actions because it's basically constantly collecting user data. But it will also respond to them if they type a question into the chat that's directed to the bot. The chat can be used to talk to other students as well, or if there's a teacher in there or another person. But yeah, so it is a bot that has been trained with parameters relevant to the course and then layered over ChatGPT, which is the core large language model that we're drawing from, so that it's less likely to invent information, because it's pulling from like these things, these like ChatGPT is trained on the entirety of the internet. And so by putting this filter over it that is content for this course, we can really hone it down to answers that are going to be way more relevant and concise to the course content, be it the syllabus, the academic content, what they're going to find in each individual map.
Does the world is there also a Blackboard shell that they're going through? Yes. And accessing this kind of world? What kind of prep were they given to go explore? Like, were they just like, here's a link, enjoy? Like, how did that
so work? There's some a bit of onboarding content, very simple, like here's how the controls work and this is roughly what you're going to be trying to do, and there's a map that we put together that's all of the different modules. But excuse me, so the map doesn't really show them a ton of detail. It just says these are all the places that you can go from start to finish, mostly so they don't just like zip past some little corner that they don't think to go and check and make sure it exists. And so what we've done is provide them with basically enough to not get hopelessly lost, but we really want them exploring. Like, that's part of the point of this information in virtual space, as well as this bot that is trained on all these different layers of information that they can encounter, is that we want them engaging with it in this kind of exploratory way. What we don't want is them just kind of treating it like a ladder where they're going in this very linear pathway and not deviating or moving through content in kind of discontinuous ways. We actually want them to feel like they're doing some more natural exploring, with the bot being there to prevent them from completely sliding off the rails in some cases.
So it sounds like the Laura bot is their guide.
To an extent, yeah.
And do they get to interact with some of the inhabitants of the Cretaceous Seaway? I thought I saw what appeared to be a mosasaur in one of your graphics. I couldn't tell quite clearly what it was, but what kind of interactions do they have then?
So there's going to be interactions like just being able to find rock layers, and a label will pop up and say, "You're looking at sandstone." All the way to, like, in here, I can zoom in on this. There are these little submarines, which some of the looks like the students have parked them on land, but there's these little submarines that they can jump into. And yeah, so there's a silhouette of a mosasaur over here. There are Hesperornis. Sorry, go ahead.
And sharing your screen again.
Oh, yeah, let me start over. Sorry. Yeah, so there's a lot of different kinds of critters and even some people, particularly Dr. Wilson, that the students can find as they're moving through these environments. So we do have a silhouette of like a mosasaur over here, and there's a spot that is tagged on land where if they basically are walking along the shore, it'll give them a prompt like, "Hey, there's some spray out to sea," because these mosasaurs had to breathe air and they likely would surface and have a little jet of mist like you would expect to see for a whale. So as they're walking along the beach, they'll get this little prompt that will trigger as they cross like this area right here, and they just press a button and it will show them like what's supposed to be a mosasaur spout out in the sea. And then we have the little Hesperornis birds. We have the little submarines that they use to go deeper into this particular module, as well as other academic content that's been distributed, with us presenting it kind of like them receiving a text message or something from Dr. Wilson. And yeah, as they move through, so we're now out at sea. We have some shallow water, then we go to deeper water. We have Dr. Wilson in a scuba gear down here with a quiz. And then, yeah, just progressively deeper, seeing like a mosasaur skeleton down at the bottom, kind of like a whale fall, like you might find in modern oceans. And then they pop out the other side. And there's pterosaurs and all kinds of other critters. So yeah, one of the things that was really important to me is making sure that it wasn't all just like text-based, that we actually put in as much visual engagement as we could, as well as some of these like pop-up text interactives that were going to fill a lot of necessary content gaps.
So how do you imagine, or how have some of the students used the AI tool so far? So are they generally asking questions about like, what am I supposed to do here? Or are they asking like, oh, this is cool, can you show me more about, I'm going to say sea turtle. I'm sure it has a cooler name than that.
Sure. A lot of it is clarifying questions, which makes a lot of sense. As far as like, where do I go next? Where is this thing? Have I found all the quiz questions? Like, not necessarily using it only as a conversational tool about content, but also asking it a lot of stuff that if, let's say, you were out on some kind of adventure trip with a guide service, there's a lot of stuff that isn't just like, what is that crab? What is that turtle? That you would probably be asking your guide. And so the AI bot is allowing them to get that feedback a lot faster. They can still email Dr. Wilson if the bot is giving them a response that they're not finding adequate. But honestly, in talking with Dr. Wilson about guiding this course so far, she's gotten, from what I understand it, maybe a half a dozen queries from students where they're just completely lost, like something doesn't make sense. And in one case, that was like a server bug that our software guys went and handled fairly expediently.
Okay.
What kind of responses are you seeing from the students? What do they think of this?
We don't really have any quite yet because the course isn't done yet. I did ask Dr. Wilson about that this past week just to kind of get a feel for like what her impression was. And so far, it's kind of a no news is good news kind of situation where it seems like they're moving through the content pretty well. There haven't been any messages of like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. So they seem, if nothing else, very content with the way that it's been structured, as well as their ability to interact with the chatbot. I'm fairly confident that if there was something that they really hated, that we would know about it by now.
Yeah, students are good about that.
Yeah.
You had kind of mentioned earlier that the chatbot was the developer's idea and not really you all saying it. Can you expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah. So I think from my end, when I was conceptualizing this, like I knew that there were things that could be done through the back end of these virtual worlds through this API system that would allow it to be a very interactive environment for the students. And I had a functional understanding of large language models and ChatGPT and stuff like that. I think what I didn't really appreciate is how readily something like ChatGPT, which is predominantly text-based, or at least I think they may have started offering like some kind of imagery outputs more recently, but most of what people seem to use it for is text, that you could tie those two things together. And so it hadn't really occurred to me that we could create something akin to this before these guys who know the back end of these systems much better than I do, brought this to our attention as like something that was even a possibility. And we had a pretty robust conversation about like, how would this work and how would you go about training it? Like, we don't want this to just be a gimmick. We want this to be a highly functional tool for the students to be using. And obviously they made a good case for it as we proceeded to actually go forward with installing it into the rest of this entire project. That's kind of the quick and dirty version of how that came to pass.
I'm curious because I know we're in the world builder view.
Yeah.
So I assume that they're interacting more like, you know, like Minecraft or something where you're navigating through the world in like a first person interaction. So when they speak, when they click on the Laura bot, like, does it speak to them? And is it a text box or like, how do they talk with it?
So it's all text-based. There's no audio component to any of this. We did talk a little bit about that, especially from an accessibility standpoint. Honestly, we basically ran into like budget and time crunch. Like, there's a whole list of other things that we'd love to be able to do if we had more time and money, as is often the case with these kinds of projects. But we ended up making a decision maybe a third of the way through, as far as like, we really need to limit our scope to this set of things and really not expand too far past that, or we're not going to get done on time. Like, there'll just be no shot at having this ready by the time the course is supposed to start. That's kind of where we land for that. I'm happy to try to go into the world and walk around a little bit. this might be an edit point here as far as making an attempt, as it could fail horribly.
Yeah, I would love to test the bot. I'd love to see how the AI works in it.
Sure. Let's see what we can make happen. To space. It might take me a sec to get my little character situated. I'm just going to go a bit deeper into it so that it's not the very beginning. Okay, so we have a fast travel system built in here. So what I'm going to do is go to module 5, which is the rainforesty area, which in my opinion is the most interesting looking one. And there's a lot of stuff embedded in there that we can see. So here's a good example. So we teleport in here. And this highlights, so we get a little message and we see an indicator down here that there is something for us to look at. So you press X. And so this is indicating like, oh, you got a message from Dr. Wilson. There's text, there's an infographic. And then down here, we can see that we're getting a message from the Laura bot. So I just interacted with object 14, module 5. And so each student, which I forgot to mention earlier, each student has a personal museum that is generated once they enter the world for the first time. Just auto creates it. And then as they move through each module and they interact with these different little content points, that content is populated into their museum. So if they want to basically go back and review, but they don't want to walk through this entire module again, they can go to their museum and everything that they found in world and interacted with will be present in their museum. So same thing here. So here we have, we'll go and do one of these quizzes. So you can see here, I interact with another object. And so this is object 1, module 5 in your museum, Eocene. And then it gives a bunch of options. One of the things we also did is made sure that it wasn't like, if they get it wrong once, it gives them the correct answer and then they're just done. What we really wanted is for them to take multiple attempts and see what the incorrect answers are if they're not quite understanding things before getting to the correct answer. I think we set something like if they get it wrong 3 times in a row or two times in a row or something, then it will give them a hint in the chatbot or something.
I'm just wondering, like, if we ask the chatbot, since it's still on the side, like, you know, what is the Eocene era, would it give us back an answer?
So yes. Let's try that right now. Yeah, so I answered the question, I got it right, and so it gives you this prompt back. Dr. Wilson also worked with ComponentWorks to train the bot with a voice that sounds like an educator. So we didn't want it to just have this very kind of sharp or more robotic tone to it. And so Laura provided a bunch of basically text samples to train the bot on so that it would have this very kind of encouraging, productive tone when it responds to students. What is the Eocene? So yeah, it gives a pretty comprehensive answer. While not being overly verbose.
Can I ask one more question to it?
Yeah, sure.
Or Gary, if you'd like to, I'm so curious to see how it actually functions for a student. I'd like to ask something like, what are the top 3 coolest things about the EOC? I'm just wondering how far out of the, you know, what would be in a syllabus or like it can go.
It might give us something effective, like coolest is subjective, but here are three neat things about the Eocene.
I like how it says thinking, blip, blip, blop.
Yeah. Here are three that stand out, yeah.
I like the personality of it. Or the humanization of it.
Yeah, I mean, I that was also a fairly early on in the training of it conversation, as far as making sure that it had a, I don't know, like a countenance that sounded like a very patient, welcoming instructor.
And how do you train the bot to have that sort of, I mean, I guess sure. you have to write a prompt or something to kind of train it. What did you do?
So to my knowledge, the way they did that is had both Laura and I provided written versions of how we would respond verbally to a student question of some kind. So the software guys would give us a question of that they would just kind of make up, that they would pull from like their content that was already submitted to them to train the bot with. And then we would give them a response back. So for example, let's say the question was something like, was the Eocene before the Cretaceous? So was the Eocene older than the Cretaceous? That was the question. And so we might respond to that. If I were talking to a student, I would say, that's a great question. The Eocene and the Cretaceous are both time periods that are close together, but the Eocene does not come before the Cretaceous. The Jurassic comes before the Cretaceous. And what we see is at the end of the Cretaceous, we see the extinction of the dinosaurs, and then we move from that into a new time period that is kind of defined by the dinosaurs having just gone extinct. And after the Cretaceous is where we find the Eocene. And so giving in text like different versions of this very patient, trying to sound as kind as possible, language. And then what they do is they take different versions of, and it's basically creating parameters on a model or something like that, where you're giving it this string of text, and you're assigning it different keywords that a student might put in. So it's basically like a giant matching game. And since you're using the underlying ChatGPT model, you're not having to do all of this from scratch. Like you're relying on a lot of the infrastructure from this large language model with filtration that is provided through these other examples. And what they're also able to do is what they call turning the heat up or down. So really dialing how creative they're going to allow ChatGPT to be versus how creative they want it to be in correlation to the model that is being filtered through. And one of the things we had them do is really turn the heat down, really turn down the creativity on the model so that it was really constrained to the training data that it was being provided, both as far as like instructor voice as well as course content and other relevant information.
Well, I think it's pretty cool that you're actually training it on good pedagogy in some ways.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. I like that.
If the student asked it and then it was just like, no.
Right. Well, I mean, without that's like not an unrealistic thing. ChatGPT tends to be a bit more wordy than that, but there's a distinct possibility that it would just be like, no, it is. That is not how it is.
Dummy, didn't you read?
Yeah.
No, that's cool.
I mean, we can give that a try. So is the scene for the, just to use that same example that I gave.
And we'll see how pedagogically sound it is here with our little test.
Especially because you just gave us your answer to it, right?
Well, I will say this is a little sharper than what we were really intending on. I might let
it didn't
the
give you the validation.
No, great question, but yeah.
Though to the point, yeah. Any other questions for it? Oh, I'm sorry, I kept like talking over you.
No, I wanted to ask a different question. Do you think, like, this is a pretty content heavy course? Is there certain courses that you think this tool or kind of tool is more appropriate for? What are you learning about the relationship between the kind of course and this tool? Or is it pretty much wide open?
So I'm obviously kind of, I'm going to have my biases in this answer. I think that this is applicable to pretty much any content area that does not involve making a physical thing. So if you're doing a painting course and the object there is to develop a physical skill, this might be a bit hard to shoehorn in there. But if you're doing a course that involves kind of exploration of a large body of known academic content, which I know is a very big space that I've just defined, I think that this has the potential to work very well. I think the difficult part comes in framing. So we wanted to do something that involved like paleontology and climate change, and we wanted to tell a story that was like interactive, that really allowed the students to move through the content in this very active way. And it took Dr. Wilson and I a good couple of meetings, I would say maybe 4 or 5 meetings that were not short, to really hone down, like, what is the educational story that we wanted to get across with this experience. And then it was like we had this giant pile of things. It was about like really scoping down and focusing on something that was achievable with the budget and time that we had, both ourselves to dedicate to this project, as well as just time until like we were going to try to start the course itself. But like there, one of the things I really like about these virtual worlds is you can build whatever you want. Like there's a ton of pre-made virtual, like these digital object assets, like everything that you see here, and zoom in a little bit. Everything that you see here are individual pre-made pixel art assets. And so I can use other software. I can make buildings. I can make a forest. I can make under the sea, as I was showing earlier. I can make the inside of an art museum. I can make a castle from hundreds of years ago in Ireland or something. You can build whatever you want. And so if it is something that involves moving through a virtual space and interacting with information that's visualized or text-based, yeah, probably.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, so then it's a matter of just, if you're gonna have a chat bot that's working kind of like ours is, you have to go through the same training process. So if you were gonna, let's say you're gonna do a course that was on, oh goodness, like a history class about the Revolutionary War, we'll just start there. And you wanted to build some environments that were meant to replicate like major cities in what would become the United States during that time. You could build whatever you want, but this kind of extensive process of like, okay, so this is the content that we're going to really focus on from that time. We can't do everything, so we're going to have to focus on like 20% that's going to be what we want to really want to do. And then you take that and you're training the bot on the whole big picture, but you're also sub-training it on each individual space that you're moving through, so that it's getting as much fine detail as you can give it without, I mean, there's a diminishing returns on training it at a point, but you want to give it enough to where it's going to do the job.
I wanted to ask a devil's advocate question about like whether or not you all discuss like, can they use this tool to cheat? Are they, you know, like, does this take away some of the learning process if they can just answer, you know, ask a question and get an answer right away?
So my, I've got a couple answers to that. One, there are some project, I think there's a major, like they have to make an infographic to turn in as like their final project for the course. It's not just doing these virtual quizzes. My outlook on that for this environment is if, as long as they're being exposed to the content and they're progressing through it, we repeat ourselves a lot in here is the other thing. Like they're seeing content more than once, and that's very deliberate because repetition and learning and all that good stuff. So if they're just going up to a quiz station and they're just typing the question into the chat bot, getting the answer and answering it, that's still a repetition of seeing that information. But at least then we know that they did it, which is really more the point. Now, with a larger environment and with more time, we would certainly add more layers to increase how comprehensive the interactions and the kind of knowledge assessment is. But it's really just doing more of this and possibly adding a few things on that might look a little different, but they would function very similar to the systems that we've already installed here. You could probably come up with other or better systems with just throwing more money at software development. But I think that's a bit of maybe a separate question. It's not something that we worried about terribly. We definitely talked about it. But it wasn't something that really deterred us for very long in those dialogues.
Well, I think this is great. This is so cool. I would be really interested to know how the students felt about it, you know, having this kind of virtual world experience to explore, having an AI chatbot alongside of it. I don't know if you are planning on, you know, doing some research around it or some follow-up, but please let us know if you do.
Dr. Wilson did submit paperwork so that we can actually use the data that is collected through this course in presentations and publications and stuff like that. And I imagine that we'll be following up with that once the course is completed and we've had some time to stare at everything for a bit. We've gotten some other outcome data from the software guys where they're just kind of digesting back-end information as the students go. And one of the really interesting bits that they shared was just the total number of questions that the students had asked, and then like a time estimate for how much time was basically saving an instructor from having to answer a question about the syllabus or like, where is this thing in the virtual world? Like basically being able to siphon off some of these questions about the doing of the course that the instructor, the human instructor, Dr. Wilson, does not have to spend time on, and that can be kind of delegated to this chatbot because we've trained it to handle those things. And I think that's one of the big areas where this can be a really huge benefit is we're allowing the students this very kind of free exploration through this content. It's very visually engaging. They can go back, they can go forward. if they feel like there was something that they missed or that they want to go and look at more because they thought it was really interesting, they can literally just walk back to it, or they can take the little fast travel helicopter that we have over here, and it will just take them back to that point. I think that with more time and budget, there's a lot of ways that this could be polished and made a lot more elegant as an overall experience. But I think it's also worth, for us, we had to remind ourselves of this a lot, is that this was kind of a first attempt at this. And we're going to put out the absolute best product we can, given the parameters that we're working within. I will also say that based on information that we've gotten from the ComponentWorks software team, that this kind of integration with a chatbot and a virtual learning world that has this very deliberate content focus at this scale is the only other entities really doing this right now are like these very large ed tech companies. And even they are like in production phase. They don't have a finished version yet. They have educational bots that kids can talk to, and they have virtual learning environments. There's not a stitching together of that. So in that way, from what they've communicated with us, this is pretty front of the line as far as innovation and combining these two things into a single educational product.
Really cool. And as a science educator myself, it also makes me wonder the future for delivery of lab oriented courses through this tool, or this a later iteration of this kind of tool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I think within the sciences, I don't think that there's really a ceiling on what kind of content you could really deal with. Like, I think it's all pretty fair game. And you could go as far as having a students walk through a molecule. Like, it doesn't have to be a normal physical environment. That's another thing that I think needs to be really emphasized, that we can make a building and we can make a rainforest. We can make all these things that we're very familiar with, but you could also make the inside of an animal. Like, you could literally walk somebody through the vascular system of a human being, which I think there's space there that's worth exploring. It's going to be a real process in pursuing this to see what applications is this really good for, and which things are like, it's fine, but it's not necessarily better than current systems that we have. Or maybe there's some other thing, some other system that we haven't really thought of yet that will be better than this would be for that particular field. But for virtual field trips or time travel, I guess, it's a very intuitive tool to allow students to basically explore things without literally having to fly a class of 10 undergrads to the Arctic. Like, obviously there's expense, there's safety risks, there's all kinds of other things. Whereas if we can do a component of that content delivery as some kind of interactive experience, as opposed to just like, here's a presentation, here is a textbook, here are some YouTube videos, especially at scale where they might be able to talk to each other, because they can video chat like we're doing within GatherTown, but they can also use this text chat feature. I would really love to see a system where they're doing very large comprehensive projects. My initial proposal when I applied for the innovation grant, and I'm not mad that we did this is great, and it turned out to be 5 times more work than I thought it was going to be, was to do something where it's like a full field camp. So like a multi-week, 7-credit-hour experience where the students are doing geological field mapping, and they're doing these really large scale projects within this massive virtual environment. That would not have scoped very well, I don't think, looking back. But I do think that it provides some accessibility avenues for students, where we're giving them this giant comprehensive learning, and not just learning, but a demonstration of learning they've done in their other courses. Like, if you're a senior and you're doing this giant mapping course where you're really pulling content from things that they should have taken as prerequisites, then they're able to do things that you might normally do in these field courses, but they don't have to travel. If they have physical disabilities, we're not worried about that. If you have an AI chatbot and there's 30 students in the course, you can really have the instructors focus on higher level engagement with the students through Blackboard and even dropping in and like talking to them in world. So those are some of the things that I could see it being really useful for, with this being like a very functional proof of concept.
Oh, this is wonderful. And I want to thank you and Dr. Wilson for doing this work. This is so cool. I think definitely cutting edge, even if you hadn't had said that the company told you that as well. So, any last questions, Gary?
No, I appreciate your time. And this is a wonderful project, David. And congratulations. Thanks. On getting the grant to fund it. And I hope to hear an update at some point with this. This is exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited. A little nervous, I'm being honest, but very excited to see what the students put in their, I don't know, exit surveys and reviews and whatnot. Said I'm optimistic insofar as none of them have like said this is the worst thing I've ever done in my life or anything really horrible like that. So I got my fingers crossed that. That means that they're at least like cautiously optimistic about this being a good experience, something that they enjoyed and found valuable.
Yeah, I would be surprised if it wasn't. So thank you again for joining us today. Mm-hmm. We look forward to hearing more about this work.
Thanks. Me too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of FHSU Tilt Talk. Subscribe on Spotify, Amazon, and check us out on the TigerLearn blog or the Tilt social media pages for updates. We'll see you next time.